Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, and it's good to be here in Lubbock this morning to see each and every one of you again. It's a joy to be here, and it's a joy to see all the people here from various churches. I'm thankful to see many of our congregation from our church at Leveland here, and our assistant members that think they're members of the church at Littlefield. We call them assistant members at Leveland, but, you know, we need the visitation with our sister churches. It's always been important, but in the day and time that we live in this day and time that Christianity is not looked upon with favor like it once was, and as we live in this time of increasing temptations and trials and all these difficulties in this world, we need each other more and more. So let us strive to fellowship one with another as we go through this world. I would add to what Elder Venable has said and wish a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are here. I'm thankful to have my mother here today. And, you know, I think of what Paul told the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. He said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, that was in thy grandmother Lois, and that was in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also." Well, Timothy had the blessing and the privilege. And I was like Timothy. I had that same blessing and privilege. My grandmother was a member of the church. My mother was a member of the church. And I was raised in the church and in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And what a thankful blessing that is to be raised in the church of God. And I'm thankful for that. Thankful for godly mothers. Let's rejoice in that. This morning, for a few moments, I'd like to speak to you upon a subject, and it really hadn't pressed upon my mind to the last couple of days, and I don't think I've ever tried to speak on it before, but I would like to speak to you for a little while this morning on the subject of positive confession. Now, when you hear confession, you don't think of positive, do you? Now, anytime that Brother Kenny got close this morning to confessing to his childhood. And when y'all heard Brother Kenny confessing all of these things, we think of confession as something negative, don't we? When you think of confessing, that means you did something wrong and you're fessing up to it. But when you get to the Scriptures, there is part of that in there. But so often in the Scriptures, when you come to confession, it's positive and not negative. Now, I want to start out this morning in Psalm 32 and verse 5. And here we're going to look at a little bit of the negative part of confession and look at some of this over in the Old Testament, and then we'll get into the New Testament. In Psalm 32 and verse 5, David said, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Here in this verse, as we see this word confess, we also see, if you look at the context, a good definition of confession. He first said, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee." You know, that's what confession is. It's acknowledging a sin. It's acknowledging something. Now, confession isn't merely acknowledging a sin. Confession is acknowledging or stating or agreeing with something. Now, if we go back over to the time of Solomon, I think this is in 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, when they had the dedication of the temple, and Solomon had that wonderful discourse there before all the people at this dedication, is charged to the people at the dedication of the temple. And he said here in 1 Kings in chapter 8 and verse 33, he says, "When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee." So set this in your mind now. Here are the people of Israel. They've been blessed greatly by God at the time of Solomon. They had been blessed under the time of David. And when Solomon came to rule, God had just blessed them tremendously. But Solomon was wise enough to know it wasn't going to stay that way. And he said, "When thy people are smitten before thine enemy." Now here's the reason why. "Because they have sinned against thee." You notice the progression of that? The people sinned against the Lord, and because of that, their enemies were able to conquer them. And let me tell you, in this nation that we live in today, I can see a day coming when we'll be smitten before our enemies. You know what the reason is? Because we've sinned before God. We haven't followed in God's way. But there is an answer to that. And here Solomon continues on, and he says, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication to thee in this house. In this discourse, this prayer portion here that Solomon had to God, he said, God, when your people sin, and they're smitten, and they become captives in their own land, and then they realize what they have done, and they realize and acknowledge that you was right, and that your way is right, and they pray unto you, hear their prayer and heal their land. That's what Solomon was praying here at this point. So what this confession is, this is when the people acknowledge and come to the point, you know, we agree that God's way is the best way. That's what their confession was saying. They're acknowledging that we have not followed God like we should have. And here's this Solomon begging that the Lord would hear from heaven when that day came years and years down the road, that God would hear their prayer and would restore them to the joy that they had once before. Now, let's go real quickly over to Matthew chapter 10. Let's look at a couple of verses here in the New Testament about this idea of confession. Now, if you think that confession is always negative, would you believe me if I told you that Jesus Christ confessed and is going to confess? Well, that ought to tell you right there that confession is not negative, that confession can be positive. Here in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, the Lord said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. So here is some confessing that Jesus Christ is doing. This is not at the end of time. This is right now. You know, some people read this verse and these two verses here, and they say, whoever deny me, I'll deny him before my Father which is in heaven. You say, well, those people that deny the Lord, refuse to accept the Lord and deny him, aren't going to heaven. Wrong. I mean, I hate to just be mean and ugly, but wrong. Let me give you an example. Let me tell you about somebody in heaven right now that denied the Lord. Three times, in fact. Do you remember when Peter denied our Lord and Master three times? And the Lord knew it was going to happen. The Lord had told Peter, Satan desires to have thee to sift thee as a wheat. I'm praying for you. Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. Peter did deny the Lord. He suffered for it. But he got over that. He finally got to the point, and I will say, even though I don't think we have a record of it in the Scripture, I think we'll get to the point where we can see that Peter confessed his sins. And then he started living for the Lord and acknowledging the Lord like he ought to. Now, let's look at some other confessions. Now, I remember, I want to go to Acts chapter 23. I remember back when I first began to study my Bible and I began to read everything I could find about the Scriptures and try to learn things, I come across some documents that I was fascinated in. And one of them was called the London Confession of Faith. Now, a lot of people don't like the London Confession of Faith, but here's a point I want out of that. It said confession, didn't it? What is a confession of faith? It's a statement of what you believe in. You know, this church has a confession of faith. We call it the Articles of Faith. But that's what it is. It's a confession of faith. That's what we believe in. And I hope every one of us here is ready at any moment to tell anybody, this is what I confess. This is what I believe. Is that negative or is that positive? That's positive, isn't it? Look here in Acts chapter 23, verse 8. Here Paul was talking about some people here, and he said, "For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both." What were the Pharisees confessing? Something that they believed in. Now, we find that same thing over in Acts chapter 24, just the next chapter. In verse 14, here Paul in his defense, here's what he says. He's going to make a confession. He's in court. So you think if you're in court and you're under trial, any confession is going to be negative, don't you? Let's listen to this confession of Paul. In fact, beginning in verse 13, Paul says, "Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me." He was confused of causing all kinds of riots and problems. But he said in verse 14, "But this I confess unto thee." Here's what Paul was guilty of. He says that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things were written in the law and the prophets. Can y'all confess that this morning? How about this part, verse 15? Can y'all confess this? "And have a hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust." I'm ready to confess, aren't you? Here's a positive confession. So when we see the scriptures here, in fact, when you look in the scriptures, when you see the word confess, the vast majority of the time, it's going to be positive. It's going to be talking about the things that we believe in. It's not a negative. But there are some things that refer to our difficulties and trials here in life. I want to go over to the book of James, chapter 5. In the book of James, chapter 5, in verse 16. Now, don't read it yet. Don't look at it. Okay? Y'all know this verse. Let me tell you the last part of that verse. All right? Last part of this verse. James 5:16, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Y'all have heard that, haven't you? But have you ever used it in the right context? Now, the concept is true. I mean, I've used this. I've used this last half of this verse to teach on the power of prayer. But let's get the first part of that verse. "Confess your faults one to another." Now, we don't like that, do we? You know, I don't like telling people when I messed up. I mean, and I don't do it all the time because I don't have that much time. It said, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another." Now, listen, this part goes with it. You're confessing your weaknesses one to another. But what goes with it? Pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. Now, here's the thought that I want out of this. We are supposed to be praying for one another. We're supposed to be helping one another. We need to confess our faults one to another, our weaknesses. Why? Because prayer works. That's what the last part of that verse is saying. "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." We have a weakness. We want our brothers and sisters to pray for us, to help us through our times of weakness. And we need to acknowledge that we're sinners. You know, one of the faults in the church that we have today in all of our churches and in this land is that we get in this idea so much of the time that we're all spiritual supermen. You know, we're just like Superman. We just have all power and all strength and all might. I mean, we can just do everything. We don't. We have faults. We have failures. You know, what we need to do as children of God is we need to confess our faults one to another. And we need to acknowledge. We need to confess these to God, first of all. But we need to acknowledge that God's way is the right way. You know, that's the key to being a successful child of God. Is acknowledging His way is the right way, and I'm a sinner, and I confess that I'm a sinner, and I sin more than I want to, but grace be to God, salvation is by grace, and y'all pray for me that I'll be better. That's the way we need to be as we live here in the church today. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, let's go to 1 John. And I'll close here in 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, verse 9, if we confess our sins, this is to God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we just read about confessing our faults one to another so that we can pray for one another and help one another and strengthen one another. Here is a confession to God, and here is a promise. If we confess to God, saying, God, your word is right, your way is perfect, and I'm not, what's God going to do? What's the promise? He said He's going to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here is a negative that just became a big positive, didn't it? Here is a time when confession is negative. It is talking about something that we do wrong. It's a sin. But God turns it into a positive. Any confession can end up positive when God is involved. Let's be thankful to our God of positive grace.